All right. Well, good morning, Compass Bible Church. It is great to be here. I drove my car here this morning. You probably drove in a car here this morning. Maybe you drove it, maybe you're just a passenger, but you got here most likely in a car. My car, 2003 Toyota Avalon. I love it. It's amazing because it gets me exactly where I want to go. Right? Are you thankful for your car? Hopefully you are thankful, right? Because think, if you did not have a car, how would you get to the places that you need to go? And how would you visit people? How would you get to work? How would you be here at church this morning if you didn't have a car? Well, I suppose you could walk. Maybe you'd get a horse. I don't know. Hopefully not, right? But you have a car, and you are thankful for it. A car is a helpful tool at your disposal that you can use, that you can utilize. But you got to ask the question, too. Can a car be just helpful, or could it be harmful? I mean, if you look at the stats, I was just reading a report a couple years ago. There was over 4.6 million people injured in 1 year in car accidents. 4.6 million. Same year, over 40,000 people died in a car-related accident. Yikes. Is a car more helpful or is it more harmful? Think of drugs, for example. I like drugs. My drug of choice is Advil. Helps for my headaches at times, right? So drugs are a great thing, and even more significant drugs have saved a lot of people's lives by utilizing it correctly. It can be a super helpful thing. But a different report read that over the course of 1 year, over 200,000 people died by ODing on drugs. Drugs, great thing, could be a great thing, helpful tool, but also could be harmful. Think of the internet, for example. The internet, powerful tool at your disposal. Can be used for great things. You can go on there, you can communicate with other people, you can send emails, you can search the web, you can research different topics. You can go to Compass Bible Church, you can listen to great sermons, you can read good blogs. You can utilize it for a lot of amazing and helpful things, but also the internet can be harmful. You can waste lots of time on it. Statistics says that the average person wastes about 2 hours on social media every single day. Average person spends about 9 hours of FaceTime looking at a screen every single day. And even more harmful effects than that is the pornographic issues that are related to the internet. There's over 2.5 billion emails sent every single day that contain some type of pornographic material, whether it's a link, whether it's a picture, whether it's a video, being sent back and forth throughout the internet. This doesn't sound like a good thing to me. Over 28,000 people every second are looking at some pornographic website. Wow. Over 40,000 Americans. I think it's actually more than that. It's 40 million Americans are looking at pornographic websites every single day. 40 million. Internet is a powerful tool. Is it more helpful or is it more harmful? We have these things that are a resource that we can utilize. Are we using it for good or are we using it for evil? The Bible tells us we got something very powerful that we have on us at all times. Only weighs 2.5 ounces. It flaps up and down. It's behind our teeth. We call it our tongue. The Bible says this is a huge, powerful tool that you have. But you got to ask the question, do you use it? Is it more helpful or is it more harmful? Why don't you open up your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 18 and let's look at this and see how we can utilize our tongue the way that God would want us to. And if we don't, if we're not intentional, if we're not thoughtful and careful to use our tongue in the appropriate way, it can be super harmful. It can be destructive and cause damage in our lives and other people's lives as well. Proverbs 18, the book of Proverbs, wisdom literature, we have biblical wisdom giving us the skill to live a righteous life. One short verse, but very powerful. Proverbs 18, 21. says death and life are in the power of the tongue. And we take that literally, where a witness in a court, for example, could, by their words, could acquit somebody or make them, the defendant, guilty, and it could be death or life in the courtroom. But not just a clinical death and life, it could be a relational death and life. By the power of the tongue, the words that are given, that go forth, can cause death and life in relationships. It says death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it, those who utilize this resource, their tongue, and we all do, some more than others, but those who love their tongue, who use it, will eat of its fruits. Meaning there's this sowing and reaping principle here. There's consequences for how you use your tongue, whether good or evil. Good or bad. Depends on how we speak. We will reap those consequences. Proverbs 18:21, it's simple. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. I want to flip over to the book of James, James chapter 3. James is often called the New Testament book of Proverbs. And James 3, as many of you know, it's a long passage on the tongue. And really, I think it's just a commentary of Proverbs 18:21 here. It goes into a little more detail to help us to think of the tongue in the way that God wants us to. And to understand how powerful the tongue is, the problem that we see in James 3 is more often we use our tongue for evil and not for good. We use it to destroy and not to build up. And so there's this warning that you should not be a teacher, because if you are a teacher, if you continually to use your words, you're going to be judged more strictly for all these words that come out of your mouth. James 3, verse 2, the warning to all of us, talking about the tongue, it says we all stumble in many ways. No one's perfect. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If you can control your tongue, you're a perfect man, a perfect woman. If you can control completely what you said, if you have never said anything that was off, if you've always said the perfect words at the perfect time. Anybody in here perfect with their tongue? Always saying the right things? There's no one like that. There's no perfect man or woman out here. And then he goes on, there's an explanation of two small things that have a huge influence. It says, if we put the bits into mouths of horses so that they will obey us, we can guide their whole bodies as well. A huge, powerful animal by just a small bit can change the action of a horse. And look at the ships. Also, they are large and they are driven by strong winds, but they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. Two small things, but control huge objects. Now, let's recognize the tongue here, the damage that the tongue can do. Verse 5, so also the tongue, it's small. It's a small member of your body, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire. It's a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell itself. It's relating this tongue to a small fire that just caused rampant impact on huge amounts of land. I mean, in Southern California, we can relate to this, Ventura County, LA County, where we had huge, massive fire that destroyed acres and acres and acres of land, destroying homes, killing people. It was a small fire that just continued to go and go and go and was extremely destructive. God wants us to be aware that thing that can be super destructive is your tongue. It can have damaging effects, destructive effects in your life and other people's lives too. And so we just need to admit this. Point number one, admit your tongue is a troublemaker. It can cause trouble. We all know what troublemakers are or who they are growing up in your class. There most likely was a troublemaker that was caused problems for the whole class by what he said or what she said or what they did. It made the whole class suffer by that one person. Or in your family, there was probably a troublemaker, and if you don't know who that troublemaker was in your family, it's probably you. But caused problems for the whole family. You know, in the Pace family, right, I may or may not have been the troublemaker. I'm not going to affirm that or deny it. But there were nights and evening that the troublemaker really just upset the whole family unit. Had a fun family activity. We were going to watch a movie together. We were going to play a board game together. We had a family activity. We were going to go somewhere. And because someone did something, said something, it was like, it's over for the family. Ruin the whole family night. And that's the way your tongue is. Small part of your body, but it just causes trouble, can ruin it. Relationships, has a huge impact, can be destructive. You can probably think of just examples in your life where people have said things to you that were hurtful, that were harmful. Think back as a boy growing up in the church, loving going to the church service, singing out songs. And I was telling my wife the story about this time where someone said something to me that was hurtful. And it was in church. And we were singing. You know what you're supposed to do when you sing in church? You're supposed to make a joyful noise. Right? So I'm in the church. I'm making a joyful noise to the Lord, right? All my heart, just singing out. After the song was over, right, after the singing was over, the lady who was sitting next to me, she looks over at me. She's like, "You really can't sing, can you?" I was like, "Oh." And my wife's at this time, I'm telling her this. She's like, "Well, that's true. So I just got to own that one." But at that time, it was like, oh, man, that had a huge impact on me. I didn't want to sing again because of what was said and how it was said at that moment. You can think of times, right? People have said something to you. But can you look back and can you think of times that you have said something to somebody else that was damaging, that had an impact on them in a negative way, that was destructive? A way that your tongue was the troublemaker in that relationship. You just think of categories here in your family. Your spouse, how is the relationship with your spouse? Has there been things that you have said in your relationship that has caused strife or division between you and your spouse? See, most fights in relationships are not physical. They usually happen with our words. The fights that you have with your spouse are usually words that are thrown back and forth at one another. There's a lot of marriage counseling here at the church, and people come in, and almost always it started, the problem, the strife in the relationship happened with something that someone said to one another. And if it wasn't something that was said, they said things afterwards that further and escalated the problem. Because people tear each other down. The wife is just nagging the husband. The husband is belittling the wife or being harsh with his wife. Is that you? Is that your relationship where you have caused division and strife in your marriage? Your tongue is causing trouble? It happens. What about your relationship with your children? How is that right now? Is that all what it should be? Or do you speak in such a way that is causing a damage in that relationship? And not just what you say, but how you say it. Are you short? You just snap. And you just let them have it. And we want to raise our children in the appropriate way. And sometimes there's a time to be firm. And with my children, I have four daughters. Right? So anytime I talk to them in a stern voice, right? I mean, I got tears. Just they're crying instantly. And then, "Daddy, it's the mean voice. You have the mean voice." And sometimes the mean voice is appropriate, but I have to check myself. Am I saying the right thing with the right tone? Am I saying it in love because I care for them? Or am I just responding in a way that is not good, not helpful, and I'm tearing them down? I'm causing strife in this relationship. And we could go on and we could talk about other relationships in your family. What about your relationship with your parents? How is that relationship right now? Or relationships with your siblings. Is that what it should be? Or have you said things that have caused division and you're not tight with your siblings like maybe you should be? Or your in-laws. How's that relationship? So we might have some relationships that are better than others, but I bet everybody in here have some relationships within our family unit that are not what it should be because of the words that have come forth from our mouth that we didn't even think about. We just let them fly, and now they're causing trouble. They're breaking relationships. What about friendships? Friendships that you have had in the past, but you realize now, you reflect, maybe these relationships, I'm not close to this person anymore. And there can be a variety of different reasons of why you're not close. Maybe it's they moved or you moved, and so there's distance that separates you, or maybe you have different values than they do, and so that maybe has separated you. But has there been a separation because you have said something that's caused that division, and now it's just they're not close anymore. It's just divided. You are apart from each other. Maybe you'll see them. Maybe you'll see them at church. You'll acknowledge them, but it's not a tight relationship like it once was because words were said. What about at work? Think of your work relationships. Maybe your boss or your coworkers or your employees. How are those relationships? And you realize all the drama and the strife that can happen at work. A lot of it is all because of words that are said. Have you been the cause of that? Has your tongue caused trouble in those relationships? See, our tongue, it's a powerful, powerful tool at our disposal. And unfortunately, a lot of times it's more harmful than helpful. We cause division. I've been married for 13 years. I love my wife. But over the course of 13 years, I've said a lot of stupid things. And she could probably tell you a lot of them. Just this last week, as I'm preparing this message on Friday night, I'm thinking I got stuff to do. I got to prepare more on this message. I'm going to be a good dad here. I'm going to bring home a Redbox movie for the Pace girls. And if I do that, right, if I come home with a Redbox movie, I'm an awesome dad. It's like, oh, Dad, you're the best, right? You have a movie. So I text my wife and say I'm going to bring home a movie for the girls, thinking this is going to be great. I'm going to walk in through the door. It's going to be a surprise. And I get a text back from my wife that says, Bailey's good with that, my oldest daughter. So I was like, she ruined the surprise. So I text her, ruined the surprise. How did she take that? She said, those are some harsh words coming from you. Sounds like troublemaking words. And she was just playing in jest. She knew what I was saying. But I just texted those words without even thinking about it. Just let them fly. Oh, she kind of ruined it. I mean, I wasn't too upset, but it's like, she ruined the surprise. And I just threw those out there via text. Right? And how did she take it? I just think, wow, I didn't even think about that. And the words that we often just say we don't even think about, and now it can have a damaging consequences in these relationships. And so what do we do about this? What I did, I mean, I went home and I wanted to be on a good page with my wife, and I went home and asked, I'm so sorry. Right? Will you forgive me? I want to reconcile. I want to make this relationship right as soon as possible. I want to use my words for good, for life, and to seek that reconciliation. But those are the hardest words to come out of our mouth. Think about all these relationships, your spouse, your children, anyone else in your family, relationships at work, friends. Can you seek to make that right? Can you speak those hard words and actually confess and say, I said something that I should not have said, or I said it in the way that I should not have said it? Will you forgive me? I want to reconcile. I want this relationship to be the way that it should be. Will you forgive me? That's what God would want. That would be using our tongue for good and not for evil. Because our tongue is going to cause trouble. But how can we minimize that? How can we try to minimize the damage and be quick to ask for forgiveness? See, it's super powerful. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And if we have this lethal weapon on us at all time, we got to learn how to use it correctly. Point number two, we need to train our mouth. Train your mouth. If we realize how powerful your tongue is, can you train your mouth to make sure the right words come out and the wrong words do not come out? The helpful words come out and the harmful words stay in? We all are speaking thousands of words every single day. I mean, if you look it up and you get the stats, it'll be somewhere between 7,000 and 15,000. And it doesn't matter whether you're a female or male, right? There's really no strong statistics that says one person, one gender speaks more than the other. See, words are not a gender problem. It's really a people problem. We all have thousands of words coming out of our mouth. And are we using them in the way that God would want us to? Have we trained our mouth to make sure the right words come out? And you might think, well, this is simple to do, right? I can easily just put a guard on my mouth to make sure the right words come out. It might sound simple, but James, you're still in James, look at chapter 3 again. It's not as simple as it may seem. There's work involved. Verse 7 says, "For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison." There it is right there. You can't tame your tongue. You can't train your mouth. You're unable to do it. So you might as well just throw in the towel. Say, hey, that's what James says. I can't do it. So whatever I feel like saying, or even if I don't even realize it, I'm just going to let these words come out. I'm not going to give any thought to it. Why? Because I can't train my mouth. He doesn't stop there. Verse 9. "With it, with our tongue, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing." And here's the qualifier. "My brothers, my fellow Christians, those who have repented and put their trust in Jesus Christ, these things ought not to be so. We should not be talking like this. We should have a control on our mouth. As Christians, it should be different. Why? Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? No. Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? No. Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. You, as a Christian who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, good things should be coming out of your mouth. Not harmful things, not hurtful things. So we can train our mouth. Doesn't say it's easy to do, but it's something we should be doing. Not saying that you are going to be perfect. There's no perfect people in here, but you can exercise self-control about the words that actually pour forth from your mouth. But it's going to take work. It's going to take thought. You're going to have to be intentional on putting a restraint on your lips. Proverbs 10:19 is a verse that I've been trying to ingrain into my daughters. And when I was taking them to school, I was saying, hey, we're going to memorize this verse together. Proverbs 10:19, it says, "When words are many, transgression, sin is not lacking. But whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Whoever holds back words is wise." Just thinking, we let words just come out and we don't even think about the words that come out. We don't give thought to the words before they come out of our mouth. And it says earlier in James, you need to be quick to listen and slow to speak. How many of us are really slow to speak and really give thought to the words before we say them, to have that guard or that filter over our mouth, to make sure the right words are getting through that filter and the harmful words, the hurtful words are being restrained by that filter. Ephesians chapter 4, why don't you jump to Ephesians chapter 4 with me as we look at what God wants us to do to let certain words come out and hold certain words back. It's training our mouth to speak the right words. When you think of any type of training, there are certain things that you need to start doing and there's certain things that you need to stop doing. If you're training, if you're an athlete, there are certain things that you need to do to get fit and to get healthy. You need to stop doing certain things, like I need to stop eating unhealthy food. I need to stop being lazy and watching TV, and I need to start eating more healthy food, and I need to start exercising and working out. There are certain things I need to stop and certain things I need to start doing. Same thing with our mouth. There are certain things I need to start doing. Certain words need to start coming out of my mouth And then I need to stop certain words, certain phrases. Ephesians 4, Paul's giving a list of all these different things that Christians need to start doing as Christians and need to stop doing as Christians, because now we are in Christ and everything we need to be doing needs to be honoring to Christ. And then specifically in verse 29, it gets to, well, what about our tongue? What about the words? It says, let no corrupting talk, nothing rotten, nothing foul, don't let any of that come out of your mouth. But here are the things that should come out of your mouth. Only such as is good for building up, as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those that hear. Do I give thought to my words? Anything that's rotten, anything that's foul, anything that would tear somebody down, those are the words, I'm going to train, I'm going to stop, they're not going to come out of my mouth. And I'm going to make sure everything that comes out of my mouth is going to build people up, that is going to encourage other people according to God's word. See, I think we need to start looking at our life and identifying what are the certain patterns, certain areas, certain relationships where words are coming out of our mouth in a way that they should not. Is that with our spouse? Do I have a tendency to cut my spouse down, to be harsh to my spouse? Is it with my kids? Do I talk differently amongst my work friends than I would with my church friends? On the sports team, do cuss words fly? Where are the areas of my life where my words are coming out in a way that would not honor Christ? And here's the problem. I think that we live in such a way where it just starts to be a pattern. We don't even realize the destructive words that come out of our mouth. We don't even pay attention to it. It just happens, and it's the normal course of life. And even the people around us, they might not notice it because that's just how my husband talks. That's just how my wife talks. That's just the way that we communicate. So that's not good. That's not helpful. I have a friend a while back. We were spending some time with him. My wife and I were with him and his wife. And I noticed at one point in time, he said something to his wife in a way where it's like, if I said that to my wife, it would not be a good night at the peso. I mean, he was harsh. It's like, wow. And he said that way in front of us. Wow. And my heart starts to pump a little faster at that moment in time, because I'm like, I got to call. I love this guy. I'm going to call him on it. And so later that night, I took him aside and said, hey, brother, I want to let you know what you said back there. It was really harsh to your wife. And his response to me, it's like, are you serious? I had no idea. Really? I didn't even see that. I didn't even notice that. See, hey, you didn't notice that? And then he followed up with, thank you. Anytime you hear me say something like that, I need you to point that out to me. It's like, that's a good friend right there. That's the right response. It's the same thing, right? You need to point those things out to me. And so oftentimes when I'm talking to him on the phone, because I'm not around him all the time, but how are you talking to your wife? If that's the weak spot for you, how are you talking to your wife? And then he'll ask me, how are you talking to your wife, right? Because it's good, right? I want that accountability. If you ever hear me talking a way that is not pleasing, not appropriate, call me out on it. I want that from my friends. Do you have friends like that? That will call you out, that love you enough to, well, they'll get in your face and they'll say, hey, the way that you talk to your child, the way that you talk to the coworker, the way that you talk to your wife, that was not in accordance with what God is pleased with. And are you a friend like that? Are you using your words for good? See, if you don't have these relationships, those are relationships you desperately need. You can't come to church on the weekend and sit here and say, okay, that was good, I heard a message, and not go out and seek to live it and have other people that are going to challenge you and hold you accountable. You need to be in some type of small group where you're going to have friends and relationships that they really care about you, whether that's our home fellowship group or our men's ministry or our women's ministry or our Thrive group, where you're going to put yourself in relationships and you're going to ask them, confront me. Make sure the way that I am talking is pleasing to God. And if there's anything that comes out of my mouth that is not pleasing to God, will you call me on it? Because sometimes you won't even notice it. You won't even know. This is maybe the pattern that you have developed in the way that you talk. Jump with me to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. We get some key insights on how we speak. It's really from the overflow of our heart, where Jesus is going around and he's going healing different people. And the Pharisees, these religious rulers, are upset at Jesus for the work that he is doing, for who he's claiming to be. And so he confronts these Pharisees in Matthew 12. And he gets right at him with some very strong words in verse 34. He says, "You brood of vipers, you snakes." How's that kind? Well, it's not kind, but I guess it was appropriate coming from the Son of God speaking to these Pharisees. You snakes, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. And the good person out of his good treasures bring forth good. And the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. You got to ask yourself, what do I have in my heart? Do I have good treasure or bad treasure? Am I bringing forth good things or bad things? And if I'm constantly bringing forth bad things, it might say something about really who I am. Am I a Christian or not a Christian? And really, that's what he was chiding the Pharisees for. You are not really following God. You're saying you're speaking good things, but you're really not, because you have evil in your heart and you have evil intent. And you're saying evil things. So if we're constantly saying evil things, we might need to question where we're at with God. But as Christians, those who have the Holy Spirit indwelt in them, we can still say evil things. We've got to ask, how does that get in our heart? Why are these things actually coming out? Well, because we're not perfect, but maybe it's also because what is going into our heart? The things that we take in have an impact, have an effect on our soul. Think about all the different things that we take in, and then as we take them in, we just push them back out. Think about the music that you listen to, the secular music. Now, secular music, it's not bad, it's not sinful, but in secular music, there's a lot of sinful things that can be sung, a lot of bad lyrics, a lot of bad messages that we just take in and we might not even think about, but then how does it affect us? And now how does that come back out? What about the TV shows or the movies that you watch? TV's not bad. Movies aren't sinful. But a lot of things that you might watch and listen to in movies and TV shows are bad and are sinful. And do we just take that in and expect that not to have an effect on who we are, not to have an impact on our soul? And then we speak in the same manner as we take those things in? Are the people that you surround yourself with, maybe they're coarse joking, maybe they're sexual jokes or racial jokes, and you just take that in? It affects who you are, and sometimes it's just going to come out because you've taken it in. So we got to have that filter too. We can't let certain things to come in to our lives. There's this new app that I found out about, or a new video service called Video Angel, or I don't even know the name of it. It's just VidAngel, which is great. It has filters. So if there's a movie, even if it's a PG movie or a PG-13 movie or whatever the movie is, you can put filters on that movie and then it will take out any language or any scene that is not appropriate. You can put, you know, whatever words you don't want in there, or whatever kind of scenes that you don't want in there, whether it's sexual or bad language, and it just takes that out. So a movie that was, an hour and a half is now only 30 minutes. Sometimes it works like that. But you can put that in, so it's like, I don't want that to come to me. I'm going to put that filter. I don't want it to have that impact on me. So I was like, oh, that's a great service. But that takes intention. You have to be thoughtful. I don't want that to come in, and I don't want that to come out. Saying in Matthew 12 here, here's a scary verse. Verse 36. Because I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. Tell you what, we all will be condemned by our words. But those who have been redeemed and those who have been saved, right, by Christ's words, by his righteousness, we are saved. But I still think for the Christian, we will give an account. Maybe not at the great white throne judgment, but at the Bema Seat judgment in 2 Corinthians 5, where it says we will all give an account for all things that we've done, whether good or bad. Not in terms of salvation, but we will give an account in terms of the rewards that we see. I just think, are there certain things that we have said in the past that we will be ashamed of when we stand before Christ? The way that we talk to our spouse, our children, our coworkers, the way that we gossip, slandered, lied. I'm going to give an account to a holy and righteous God. It says right now, your words, right, that come out of your mouth, can you start training your mouth? I don't want any careless words to come out. I want every word that comes out to be thoughtful with intention. And just to not let these words fly. So we want to train our mouths to speak the right words, deliver the right way at the right time. I want these good, helpful words, life-giving words to be flowing out of my mouth. Back to Ephesians 4:29, I don't want any corrupting talk to come out of your mouth, but it says, only such as is good for building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those that hear. Is that the kind of words that come out of your mouth? Life-giving words, encouraging words to build other people up? The people that you are surrounded by, would they say, that person, the words that they say, those are good. They always are seeking to speak words of truth that encourage and build and edify other people. I know someone on our staff has made it a point every week, to get on Facebook and to encourage somebody, to thank somebody for maybe the way they're serving in the church or something that they have done, but to be intentional. I want to get on Facebook. I want to use that for good, and I want to use my words on Facebook as I type them out to send a message to encourage somebody. That's good. That's thoughtful. That's a plan. It takes intention. There's this app called PrayerMate. I love this app. You can put the list of what you want to pray for, and it comes up a different list every single day, and you can schedule it accordingly. And this app is also super helpful because there's a button that you can hit, and then you can directly email or text the person that was on your prayer list. And then you could write them in that email or text the things that you are praying for. How would you be encouraged if someone said, hey, I'm praying for you today. This is what I am praying for. That would be using your words for good, to actually pray for other people and then tell that person what you are specifically praying for, to encourage that person, to build that person up. I'd love to get a text, an email saying that someone's praying for me. That's using their words for good. Yeah, just to be thoughtful. The thing is, some of us might not even realize that we're not opening up our mouths to speak good words. I knew a guy who was dating this girl, a girl that he was eventually going to marry, and the girl said to him, you don't really compliment me. And the guy, he was stunned by this. Are you serious? It's not like he didn't have any compliments, but he just never opened up his mouth to say anything. And then from that point forward, he made it a point, like, I'm going to compliment my wife, right, all the time. I said, oh, that's a good thing to do, to make it a point to, when I see something, instead of not saying anything, I am going to be intentional to say something good. Are you intentional with your kids to say something good to them, to build them up, to let them know that you're proud of them if you are proud of them, to encourage them? people in your small group, people in your men's Bible study, women's Bible study, do you make it a point, I'm going to say something to these people in my group to encourage them? I'm going to plan to do it. As I said before, I do a lot of marriage counseling, and one of the things that we come in, when we get a couple that there's division, there's strife in their marriage, I said, is there anything good? It's like, I don't know, right? This guy, he's no good. So there's got to be something good. Does he work? Yeah, he works. So he actually has an income. Yeah, just a little bit. Well, that's a good thing. Do you ever encourage him? Do you ever thank him for working? What about your wife? Does she do anything good? I don't know. Does she ever do the laundry? Yeah, well, I guess she does it sometime, but my clothes don't always turn out the way I want. But she does it sometimes. She actually puts some thought. Yeah, do you ever thank her? Who cooks the meals? Who gets the grocery? Who takes out the trash? You're probably doing things that you naturally do, and you're serving one another. You don't even realize it, and you don't even express any gratitude to each other because that's just the routine. If you could just start using your words for good, that would give some life to this relationship. And so the homework assignment is I want you to come up with 10 things. And throughout the week, to say these 10 things to encourage your spouse. You can't say them all at once, right? You got to be specific throughout the week to say them. And I want you to write them down. I want you to come back and I want you to tell me those 10 things. Right? Because there are things that you could say that you don't say. Can we be thoughtful? Can we be intentional? Can we be purposeful? And it's like, I'm going to get those words out of my mouth. Death and life, as Proverbs 18:21, are in the power of the tongue. You can either destroy, right, or you can give life. And I can't help but think about this verse and thinking in the New Testament context here that we live in, that life is really in the power of the tongue, not just life and life-giving things, but eternal life, the gospel message. If we speak words of life, if we speak the truth, if we proclaim the gospel, that's all in the power of the tongue. And so often, our mouth is closed, and we don't give those life-giving words out to other people. As many of you know, we just had the Equip Conference here last weekend. The unfinished task that God calls us to is to speak the gospel to other people. Are we doing that? Are we opening up our mouth to give words of true life? That's point number three. We need to speak the gospel. We got to train our mouth for good, and we need to make sure that we're also training to speak the gospel, to get the word out to other people. Knowing that every careless word I'm going to be judged for, Christ also calls you and I to be his ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5:20, many of you know this passage. It says, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. We are his representatives. We are going to speak for him. And what are we supposed to speak? Well, it says God is making his appeal through us. God wants to use us to make his appeal to other people. To what? It says, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. We want to see people get saved. We want to see people be reconciled to their Creator, to turn from a life of sin and say, I need Jesus. I am going to put my trust in his perfect life, in his death for me, that he rose from the grave, and I'm going to repent, and I'm going to follow him. But do we speak these words of life to other people? Are we opening up our mouths for the gospel? Are we praying for that? Are we intentional and thoughtful? Our high school ministry last year, they had the One campaign. And the One campaign is, hey, let's just start small here. We're going to pray for one person every single day. We're going to pray for the salvation of one person every single day. Who's that going to be? We're going to invite one person to church every single week. We're going to at least do everything in our power to bring that one person to church every single month. Say, hey, one. Do we care about one person? Not that getting to church saves you, but going to church, you're going to hear the gospel. We want to pray for that salvation. Is there one person on your prayer list that you are praying for every single day? God, I want to see this person saved. One person that you are praying for. God, give me the opportunity to share the gospel with this person. Because I'm praying. Because I care. Who is that person? Are you looking for those opportunities to open up your mouth to speak the gospel to somebody else? I hear this one story of a guy. He was convicted and he was compelled. I have this friend. He needs to hear the gospel. And I need to share it with him. But every time that he talked to his friend, he could not transition to get the gospel. He couldn't get it out. Didn't know how to get those words out of his mouth. So he started praying. He said, God, next time I meet with him, I'm going to share the gospel. I don't know how that I'm going to get the words out of my mouth, but I'm going to trust that you will get the words out of my mouth. I am just going to open my mouth and trust that you will get those right words out of my mouth so I can transition and present the gospel to him. And so this meeting came up. And so they started to talk, him and his friend. He's like, okay, I just feel compelled. All right, I'm going to do it. And so you know what he did? He opened up his mouth. And he did this. No words came out. He just had his mouth open. And his friend looked at him like, this is weird. This is awkward. And so his friend said, well, why is your mouth open? And his friend, he replied, I was looking to share the gospel with you. I mean, that was his transition. The awkward moment, why is your mouth open, led to, well, I was praying because I wanted to share the gospel with you. And he got to share the gospel with the person. I mean, something weird like that. I mean, awkward, but he did it. He opened up his mouth. And sometimes we just need to unlock our lips and unleash our tongue for the gospel. Where are we closing our mouth when it should be open? Where are those opportunities? At Compass, we send missionaries across the world. They got a purpose. They're going to a different country, to a different culture, maybe a different language, to go share the gospel with other people, to make disciples. And we can pray for them. We can support them financially. We can care for them. And we need to. That's important. But you understand, we got a mission field right here. You got a mission field with your neighbors. You got a mission field at your workplace. You got a mission field on the sports team of your kids. You got a mission field where people need to hear the gospel. And you are Christ's ambassador. Are you going to speak the gospel? Are you going to open up your mouth? Unleash your tongue? To speak the words of life? Scott says you got the power of life right there with your tongue. How important that is. One of the things I do at the church is I oversee our missions ministry. And so on occasion, I'll go visit our missionaries. And so when I'm gone for an extended amount of time. And so my wife had the idea, is, hey, when you're gone, I think we need to buy a gun. So my wife is packing heat right now, so don't mess with her, right? Don't come over to our house when I'm gone because she is on guard. But I said, hey, if we're going to get this gun, you know what we need to do? We need to train you how to use it. You need to know how to use this gun because this is lethal right here. Has the opportunity to do harm to someone. Well, has the opportunity to do good as well, to protect you and the family. And so we met with some people, took a training, how to hold the gun, how to load the ammo, when to put the finger on the trigger, how to aim. Went through all of it. Because you need to be careful and know what you're doing. You have a gun. And you load bullets into your gun every single day. That gun is your tongue. The bullets are the words that you just load in. And so often, we just shoot out words every single day. And they go everywhere. We don't even give a thought to it. Just wonder if we were very careful and thought of our tongue like that gun. The words that are the bullets. What bullets am I going to load my gun with? And am I going to shoot bullets of life to other people that are going to encourage and edify and build up? Bullets of eternal life, gospel bullets. Or do we load our gun and we put in there that bullets are going to tear people down, that are going to cause strife and division and damage relationships? It's clear that God cares about the words that we say. Got the power of life and death. I think we come to church and we sing. And we sing songs about God and we praise Him and we worship Him. And hopefully, right, when you are here and you are singing, it's true. It's a reality of your heart. You sing these words because you mean them. But are the words that you sing and the words that you believe about God and who He is and how amazing and how awesome He is, do you communicate those same words to the other people that are around you? And as James says, is blessing and cursing come out? Right. Or do we just look to, can we just start looking to bless people? So we're going to close with a song. One of the end line is amazing love. How can it be that, oh, my God, should die for me? Like if you can sing that with conviction that God, the incarnate Son of God, came to live and died for you, and that's amazing. And you can sing that out to Him and worship Him and praise Him for it. Can you speak that out to other people? Who are you going to share that with this week? Why don't you stand with me and let's pray. God, we come before You and we acknowledge that we have a powerful weapon. We have a weapon that gives life, but can also give death. That can either be helpful or harmful. God, I know that everybody in here has work to do, myself included. We can all use our tongue in a way that would be better, more pleasing to You, that would encourage and edify brothers and sisters in Christ, would encourage and edify people that surround us, that would give words of life, true life, of eternal life, speaking the gospel to other people. God, I pray that we would be more bold and we'd be more intentional, we'd be more purposeful with the words that we say. God, help us not to be thoughtless and just allow words to spew out of our mouth that cause damage. Just think of the past and knowing that all of our relationships are not what they should be. And help us to take ownership for the ways that we have caused destruction in relationship and to be humble and to seek out forgiveness from other people, to desire to be reconciled. God, those are hard words to get out of our mouth, but God, please give us that humility that we need. God, most of all, give us a love for You that would flow over into a love for other people, a love that would be bold enough to share the words that people really need to hear, which is the gospel. God, we pray that You would save more people and that we would be blessed by You using us as a tool to speak the words, to be Your ambassador, to share the gospel with more and more people. God, we pray that You do a great work, not only in us to make us more like Christ, but in us to bring more people to Christ. And we ask this all in Your Son's name. Amen.